off the ball.
GAA. When a group of players come together at the same time, when they're growing at the same time, when they're moving in the same direction, when they all have that same bit of hunger, I think that's a really powerful thing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
This is episode 117 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and crack. Reminder as well, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your podcasts. How are you, Johnny?
Very well, Ginny.
The Dublin Racing Festival, a lot to review from it. So maybe let's go through the big three races. If you think about the big three races at Cheltenham, there would be what, the Champion Hurdle, Champion Chase, Gold Cup, and Leopardstown had its own versions of those. And look, well done to everybody for getting the show on the road. Obviously, Saturday was postponed to Monday, but Sunday and Monday was a really exciting racing on watching on television on Bank Holiday Monday. Let's start off with the Champion Chase, the Dublin Chase, Mashburgh, who we both tipped, both thought he would do well in deeper ground and get into a jumping rhythm, and maybe not the conditions that would suit Marie Nationale. Kind of transpired that way.
Yeah, I was surprised in a way that Marie Nationale ran, because the worry speaking here on Friday was if you had a bet on Anton in the race, that there would be a hefty rule four, and as the ground got worse, then it was kind of like, hang on now, Solness isn't really going to handle this either. So who's going to win this race? And it kind of almost left Found a 50 and Mashburgh. Like, I could not, this is not after time in the slightest way, I could not believe the price of Marie Nationale on that ground. Like, it was incredible. He was a hard favourite, having been second favourite the morning. And the ground was, I think they may have been calling it soft to heavy on the chase track. It was really, really gruelling ground. And I spoke to Barry Connell about it actually during the week. He made an interesting point that when Mashburgh slowed down, and he was looking at the miles per hour, when Mashburgh slowed down to whatever it was, like sub 30, because Mashburgh did go quite hard early, he felt that Marie Nationale was then able to kind of travel somewhat within himself. But at that stage, he was like, I was watching Marie Nationale after 25 yards of that race and basically said, this horse is not travelling. Like, he just was not travelling on the ground. And meanwhile, Mashburgh was so good, Mark Wise able to kind of give him a break. However, at Cheltenham, I would be loath to say it'll be anything like this on good to soft.
A couple of things out of it. Mashburgh made a lot of mistakes. Made a couple of big mistakes at Cheltenham last year, cost him the Arkle. And Marie Nationale is now running probably in different conditions you'd have to expect in the recent years of Cheltenham, although it has been softer in recent years. But I'm thinking to myself, I can't really back Mashburgh in the Champion Chase, because he could easily win it, but I don't know if he's going to make a mistake again. And the second thing is, Marie Nationale now left his Champion Chase behind him by running in a race he shouldn't have been in.
The whole point of the Dublin Racing Festival, in terms of it getting universal support really from Irish trainers, is the fact that it's like roughly 6 weeks from Cheltenham. But you asked a question last week about, I think we focused really on Gallop and Deschamps and Marie Nationale as horses who could leave their Cheltenhams behind. And Marie Nationale was the one for me. There's a lot of downside to giving him a hard race here, which he had. And he had a very hard race at Christmas as well. For all that Sean Flanagan couldn't have done any more to nurse him into the race. After the mistake, he had to work so much harder just to finish second. And here he had to work very, very hard to finish second. I'm not in tune with horses day to day in terms of like seeing them and having the experience of seeing how they respond. But I would be a little bit worried in terms of Marie Nationale. Let's say he did a very tough race. Mashburgh, I feel that Christmas was a bit of a means to an end in terms of giving him a bit of his confidence back, and particularly going left-handed. And his jumping for me was very, very good at the Dublin Racing Festival. So I would make him the horse to beat, but a lot will depend on the ground as well at Cheltenham.
Okay, what about any others in that race? Is there a horse?
No. I wouldn't. Like, Solness, in fairness, wouldn't have had his ground, but the rest of them aren't. They're not. Sorry, in the Champion Chase, like, John Bonner can't have him. I think he's double figures or so. Ilete Tomp, massive questions to answer now after the last day. So I'd still pretty much I think the bookies have it right, having them favourite and second favourite. This is a division that hasn't had, like, a real star, and maybe Mashburgh now might be edging towards that. William Mullins said the other day that he doesn't feel he's ground dependent, but it is interesting that he's been so impressive on heavy ground in the Triumph and heavy ground at Leopardstown. So I do feel a dig definitely suits him, but like he's, I'd still just be wary of him going right-handed, but left-handed now he's gotten his act together jumping-wise.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the owners of the Champion Chase. JB McManus has never won the race. Is that correct? I think it is.
That's incredible.
That's why he's running in it, you'd have to think.
If you think, well, I don't know about that. Like, he's maybe he can stretch out to, I think you were among the people saying that he would want a trip.
But
he'll definitely get a lot further than 2 miles.
If you have won everything, there's always something that you haven't won that you want to win.
Are you somehow suggesting that JP should add Factofile? I know the way you're thinking. And Christ, the horse of Jimmy Mangan's.
Spillane's Tower. Put them all in the Champion Chase.
And run them all in one of the, well, run them in both. But I feel he's very likely to go off favourite. I feel on the day there'll be a lot of support from Ashborough, and Willie has him back on track now. Marine Nationale, for me, was, I'm paraphrasing here, but I think I asked Barry Connolly, do you regret running them? And he said, no, not at all. But this is not after time. It's one of the most surprising markets I've seen. That horse could be such a strong favourite on that ground. I honestly thought he'd next to no chance.
What about Brother Days Ahead winning the Irish Champion Hurdle then, about her prospects for Cheltenham, where she's gone twice and underperformed relative to her ability?
The 2 mile division is a real, you know, and enigma at the
wrapped
moment.
In a mystery.
It's a mystery that's really intriguing with the view to the next few weeks as it unravels, and maybe Constitution Hill's prospects unravel. He's going to be ridden by Oisin Murphy in the flat race. The Constitution Hill story for a horse who's been, what, 3 falls from his last 4, and the amount of hype around him, even though he's massive question to answer, is fascinating. You heard Tom Stanley on Racing TV saying the other day, I still feel he goes off favourite in the Champion Hurdle if he runs. And he could. He could well. Like, Brighter Days Ahead, Jack Hindley said to the Racing Post after Leopardstown, she didn't feel right in the Champion Hurdle. I mean, that was a terrible performance at Champion Hurdle last year. There were sort of rumours that, whether right or not, that she hadn't really taken to, you know, when the horse arrives at Cheltenham and they can get a feel for her, she just wasn't giving them the vibe that she was actually at her best. And she did a desperately hard race at Leopardstown. So, like, that was miles off. I was really disappointed in her last year. She's gotten her career back on track. And funnily enough, she was supposed to be going chasing, and it just hasn't happened. But Lassie Mouth again, JD, never travelling for me. She was she was beaten early on in the race, more or less, in my view.
Yeah, but like Kempton, when she didn't run that well at Kempton, behind, I think it was Constitution Hill, wasn't it?
In fairness, at the time, you're thinking, well, you know, it's Constitution Hill, but there were aspects of that performance where you're like, she's not at her best. But I did find Willie Mullins interesting, where he's very much not given up on them. But the other one is Final Demand, but I feel Lossie Mouth, whatever race she runs in, I feel like he feels, I'll get her back at Cheltenham.
Well, I mean, she's excellent in the, she's better, she's good on good ground, she's a great record at Cheltenham, and you'd think the mare's race is a penalty kick, but you'd like to see her in the Champion Hurdle. But the New Lion is probably the favourite for the Champion Hurdle at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just sorry, I hadn't checked the odds here, because I'm sure he's not exactly that hot now, but I still wouldn't entirely give up on Anzadam. And Ruby Walsh was saying pre-race that he feels that, you know, he needs soft ground to be at his best. I don't think that at all, actually. I feel with Anzadam, he needs a strong pace, and I feel there's still more there. And he's 20, what is he, 20 to 1 non-runner no bet in the Champion Hurdles. He's not gone out that much. He was 10s, but I wouldn't be giving up on him entirely. At the moment, that a Constitution Hill is 7 to 2, William Hill, 7 to 2. That's non-runner no bet in the base, that if he shows up, he'll be short. Lost him out 4 to 1. Then you're getting into the realms of Poneros. Golden Ace is only 7 to 1, you know, so it's a funny old Champion Hurdle this year. I like the New Line, but I feel he could be vulnerable to a bit of finishing kick. I wouldn't be expecting him to definitely beat Anzadam relative to how they were travelling in the Fighting Fifth.
Constitution Hill is the interesting one.
Mm.
He's the interesting one. Have you given up on Galopin des Champs for the Gold Cup? I have not. No, not yet.
Well, Willie Mullins hasn't.
All about the one day. 3 Gold Cups, that's what it's all about, in my view. But that said, I just feel that Afrodale Fury and Galopin des Champs were quite, you know, there was no quarter given in that race. That was a tough race. And I was thinking to myself, you know what, maybe we just need to bypass this as a piece of evidence and look for horses that have not had as hard a race. Now, maybe you think of Factofile had an easy race. Obviously, he's settling better now and maybe he will get the trip, but he's got to prove he gets an extra quarter mile. They took him out of the Gold Cup. They got to put him back in if they want to do. what they did with, I know the way you're thinking last year, different connections, but to, well, different trainer, but like they put Factofile back in, the owner, JB McManus, if they decide to do that, like there's a big conundrum around him. Like, is he now settling into the position where he stays and wins the Gold Cup because he's won at two festivals? And then Galopin might be just about the one day in creating history. Do you put a line through him? But it just felt for me, the earlier part of the race, Aphrodite Fury and Galopin were quite exuberant, quite going for it. Factofile was just tucked in, lovely position, fourth or fifth, and then was able to come and make his run. Gaelic Warrior ran very free. And it's a hard Gold Cup to work out. You're looking at Django Bay, loves Cheltenham, great jumper, great attitude, will probably be good on good ground, has skipped this, is going to go there fresh. For me at the moment, he could be the each way play, but Galopin is going out 8 to 10 to 1 now for a horse of a lifetime. That's not a bad price.
It's a very bad price, if you ask me. Not a bad price, very bad price. So I cannot see it at all, JD. And if you were looking at the Arca last year, just getting the odds up here for Cheltenham, and you were to say Django Bay will almost be favourite for the Gold Cup in February of next year, it would really have been incredible. I can't have Galopin. Like, I was dead against him at Leopardstown, because I definitely feel, as much as I don't train horses, my experience of horses who are top-class staying chasers, they have a shelf life, and Galopin Deschamps, to me, looks like he's regressing, and that's absolutely understandable at this stage of his career. And even if you look at the Gold Cup last year, he was smashed by Another Way You're Thinking, who's now, what is he, 14 to 1 to win the Gold Cup. He's about 7th or 8th in the betting. So he has all of these horses. Factofile didn't run the race last year. Django Bay didn't run the race last year. The Jukebox Man didn't run the race last year. Gaelic Warrior didn't run the race last year. Hate Killer didn't run the race last year. Spillane's Tower didn't run in the race last year. All of these horses he has to take on and somehow improve almost on what he achieved last year. It cannot happen for me. But Willie Mullins isn't giving up. He said, the ground is so bad and everything. He's like, you know, we've gotten horses back before. Don't like, cause I just asked him, I said, like, what's it like when, like, you're watching a grade one race, like our big kind of Gold Cup of this time of season, and you Factofile likely to win, but one of your favourite horses of all time must be, you know, Galopin Deschamps, who's jumping in third. Like, are you looking at him and kind of, who are you looking at, and have you given up on him? No, he hasn't, but I cannot see him win the Gold Cup. I'd be surprised, actually, if he were anywhere
relevant. By 22 lengths last season.
He was good at Punch. That's the one thing, but I don't believe that Punchdown form to be that relevant. Like, it was just too good to be true.
Look at the way Cotto Star and Denman as lifetime horses came back and continued to perform in Gold Cups, which was the biggest day that mattered. I'm not saying the other days don't matter, but this is the day that really, really matters. And surely he's been trained for one day.
Why was he so disappointed last year then?
I don't know. I just don't think, I mean, it was pretty clear from the comments, or reading the comments after the race, that they didn't feel he had the sparkle that he had in the previous two Gold Cups, which he won. And then he showed that sparkle at Punchestown when he won by 22 lengths. Like, it was one of his best ever performances. I might feel...
In a four-horse race like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I just kind of feel, though, I think with some of these staying chasers, they, like, what happens is, in the peak of their career, they're winning everything. Mm. They're winning three or four times a season. I think sometimes they can come out and maybe just win once and have one great day.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's what I saw with Cotto Star and Denman.
But Denman was a busted flush at the end of his career because he had so many hard races.
He was second to three Gold Cups.
He was regressing. Like, and by the end, if Galopin Deschamps...
Is second in the Gold Cup regressing?
It depends on, like, who do you finish second to?
Well, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, who, for you,
do you have a clear idea who you think the winner will be? Because you had the winner last year, Another Way You're Thinking. Do you think the Jukebox Man, Django Bay, Factofile, these horses are now in the front line?
Yeah.
Factofile's not young. He's 9. But is it one of these horses that was in the King George, for example? Season chasers, as we call them.
Like Gaelic Warrior, a Factofile bombed in the King George, but like the horse I would be taking out of the King George is not the Jukebox Man, who I put up in the race. Like, I thought everything went his way and he scrambled home. I really can't see him win the Gold Cup. At the moment, I would have two bets. Not at the prices now, 7-2 is short enough, but Factofile, I think, probably is the horse to beat.
Will he stay now?
Yeah, I that was my concern at Leopardstown, but Everton was so natural for him, and he's very effective at Cheltenham. Like, so if he gets into a rhythm, I wouldn't be that worried about his stamina anymore, to be honest. And I know the way you're thinking, it's daft. I mean, it was the saddest sight of Leopardstown was him coming out of that race at the last when he fell, And I remember I said to Keith Donoghue, I said to him on the other day, reflections on the DRF, I'm glad it's over. And that was it. And that, okay. I think that's a reflection of Gavin Cromwell's horses. Like Gavin has had two winners and a second since. I'm not sure you can use stable form as an excuse for, I know the way you're thinking. It's a massive, massive question mark against him now. I just feel.
He's a spring horse, maybe?
Yeah, we've 6 weeks, and as much as before he was being brought along for Cheltenham, he was being brought along for Cheltenham this year. That does not explain how badly he's running. I wouldn't give up on him yet. And instead of being 4-1 now, he's 14-1.
So back to filing another way.
Yeah, like Django Bay. Like, would Django Bay really stay in a grueling Gold Cup like that? Galloping Deschamps, I can't have. Haiti Couleur is kind of interesting. See who gets on tomorrow.
A Welsh national type, Irish national type. I mean, native river, similar profile. Mm. You know what, Haiti Couleur will stay. To be honest, it's always been some classy horses do win it. The really classy horses like Autostar win it, but sometimes it can be a bit more of a staying race than a.
Oh, totally. And like we're living in
3.25 miles in sometimes soft ground. You think that the ride up Haiti Couleur Street?
We're living in
great jumper as well.
In a time, he's a great jumper. We're living in a time of like I've never experienced rain like this in Dublin that we've had over the last week. But like it's genuinely I cannot predict what the ground's going to be like in the Gold Cup. Nobody can. Like you're absolute. We have not a hope of knowing if the ground will be heavy or good or soft.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big one.
Who's
on the day.
Good ground horse? Probably Factofile. But Django Bay, yeah,
Factofile was very effective on the heavy, like very effective the other day. It's just obviously his stamina is slightly more suspect. Yeah. The ground getting worse.
Eyecatchers. I took two horses out of the festival, Johnny. True Testimony. She travelled well in the handicap hurdle and she was found to be lame after the race and she faded. I think she's definitely worth another chance, maybe over 2 miles. Ian Patrick Dunne, who trains that one. And Kim Rock, once again, to me, doesn't have many miles on the clock for Joseph O'Brien. Could be worth a try over shorter distance. Travelled really ominously before kind of fading behind Backmere Sack Me. There were the two I picked out. Did you find any eye catchers?
An obvious one, Selma Devery in the juvenile hurdle did so much right. Interesting that Monge too was rallying to, you know, challenge her, I suppose, for seconds. Narciso Haas, I've said this a few places, I've laid this horse to a mate of mine for Cheltenham just to lay him. Like, not that I had a strong opinion on it, but I think my goose is cooked there. I thought he was brilliant. He looks like a ready-made Triumph Hurdle winner. But the horse that finished second was very good on the day. And just so let me give one from day one, which was, let's go back to the Sunday here. I suppose the one caveat, JD, is just how bad the ground was in terms of picking out horses to take from the race. The race on the day, again, finding the man, can he bounce back? I thought King Roscoe Gray ran really well for a horse of his experience, really, really well. Nothing from the champion chase, really.
Okay.
Yeah, probably King Roscoe Gray. Him and Leader Dahlia, like Leader Dahlia's slightly been forgotten. Very interesting, Willie Mullen just saying how Paul Townend couldn't pull him up. And you remember both of us were sweetening before.
Well, Patrick Mullins is. I asked him and yourself and from different publications on the show, Patrick Mullins, as give us one to follow for this season. He goes, Leader Dahlia.
Yeah. Don't give up on him. I really liked his performance the last day. But from Leverstown, yeah, I'd give them those two Mullins runners.
Jockey Philip Burns has been cleared of any wrongdoing following his unseat from the horse Redwood Queen in a claiming race at Wexford last May. So the horse trained by Philip's father, Charles Burns, looks set to win a claiming hurdle before unseating after the final hurdle, the jockey unseating. So the referrals committee of the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board came to the conclusion that Burns' fall was a result of poor horsemanship. And I quote the panel saying, we do not believe this was deliberate act on his part. He is fortunate in the way in which he landed and that he suffered no injuries. We're unable to identify any motivation to justify him deliberately dismounting from the horse. Had the fall been deliberate, we believe the jockey would be fully aware of the embarrassment that would be to him and the consequences for his reputation as a jockey. We also dismiss any suggestion betting or betting patterns formed a motivation for the fall. The RTOB complaint of deliberate conduct on the part of jockeys not made out. We're of the opinion what occurred on this occasion was an example of poor horsemanship on the part of the jockey, consistent with his pre-existing poor falls record. In our opinion, on the occasion in question, the jockey's position of instability stemmed from an exuberant jump by the horse, resulting in the loss of both irons consecutively. His efforts to remain on board by holding onto the reins and neck strap was unsuccessful. Now, Philip Burns denied any wrongdoing, said he was deeply, deeply embarrassed by what happened, but said he did not deliberately jump off the mare.
Yeah, it's. I suppose Brian O'Connor had an article in the Irish Times, was on Monday, about the IHRB now and its kind of integrity team and its security team. Chris Gordon has left the scene along with Declan Buckley, and as I mentioned, like Richie Forrestal had an article about this in the Racing Post, which would carry weight. And I understand now that Nick Luck's daily report from the BHA on the Burns case is quite damning for the IHRB. And I do feel, in terms of the IHRB, in terms like there's, you know, major question marks over morale of people in the organisation. And I know that. And I know it's a difficult job for the people in the IHRB who work day to day. And there's, you know, a lot of horses who are obviously out for runs and a lot of things that they have to do. And it's tough and it's thankless and all of that. But I feel at the moment the IHRB is not in a particularly good place. And this was deeply unsatisfactory. And it was just deeply unsatisfactory in so many ways, from obviously Philip not being interviewed on the night at Wexford.
The stewards did investigate this on the day.
Well, they just said they thought there was nothing to see. I tell you what, I don't think we'll ever really know the full story of what happened here.
Even though they're a referrals committee.
Yeah, they put up Leighton Aspel, who is now almost a sacrificial lamb, because Leighton Aspel went out on a limb, basically, and said, this is what I believe happened. So Leighton Aspel now has done this, and in my view, Leighton Aspel did this because he believed it, with absolutely good intentions. And now he comes across where, you know, the IHRB have found that was all wrong, what Leighton believed to be the case. And I just found the whole thing deeply unsatisfactory. But the IHRB will be under huge scrutiny now, because it wasn't, as I say, I'm not trying to say what happened, because I'm not 100% sure what happened at Wexford, but the IHRB's entire integrity system is clearly not fit for purpose, because it wasn't really able to, you know, find anything in relation to wagering. There was so much going on here that basically it was just, don't know, we'll just bring up Leighton Aspel and see what he thinks.
Okay, Philip Burns cleared of any wrongdoing from the IHRB. Referrals committee with Mr. Justice Peter Caddy chairing that committee. This week's news story. So we have previews for the weekend. Nace at Heavy Ground on Saturday. The Opera Hat Mare's Chase, 6 runners, 2 miles at 4 o'clock. Dino Blue, the highest rated of these by a mile, won the race last year, won last time out. Does she win again?
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking, JD? Fours on. Possibly that's, you know, this trip is maybe slightly on the sharp side for her. The last year's race was a great race, taking on Allegory Devassi. Bioluminescence at her best is a very good horse. You Have Me in Stitches helps to give JP McManus a strong hand. I wouldn't be backing Dino Blue at the prices, but I can't see really, it's very hard to oppose her. Mark Walsh could win on Anthony at the moment, and he should be winning on her.
Yeah, he's come out of the DRF very well, hasn't he?
Four grade ones, so what do you win? Half the grade ones. I don't know. It was all, I was kind of hoping to interview him before, I was hoping to interview him at the races, and it just didn't happen. But I did speak to him after, you know, he did a winner at Punchdown. As I point out in the show, I just feel that there was no suggestion in his head around that he's nearing retirement at the age of 40 this year, and he's in good nick. But he just rode as if he was free of any, maybe not so much that he'd a point to prove, he just rode it in the way that it was like, if go out there and, you know, play your best and see and do whatever you want, like see what happens, show your, and he was on the right horses, but I even thought riding horse for Robert Tyner the other day, a mare, Krakora Hills, I thought he was just brilliant to watch. He's a fantastic rider, and it was a funny footnote to the weekend, and a lot of people got a great kick out of it, I think, as well, because you know, Harry Cobden is 27, like he's been brought over at a good time, but Mark hasn't gone away, you know.
Soft ground for Warwick's Kingmaker Novices Chase on Saturday, 150, 2 miles, grade 2, 3 runners, Steel Ally and Mambo number 5 and Mirabad. Mambo number 5 is a horse rated by Ben Pauline. His trainer has just run up a hat trick, only a 5-year-old. May want further, but Heavy Ground will suit him. I would probably say he's the one to be on.
Yeah, I'm not sure about necessarily Heavy Ground suiting him.
But if he wants further, I mean,
yeah. But I looked at his form today. He's never really run on ground this bad, and
he's definitely effective on good ground. After he beat Hansard at Kempton, Ben Pauling said, I think you probably have to treat him as an Arkle horse after that performance. And that's absolutely fair. He goes from strength to strength, good to soft, good though. And he's taking on Steel Ally here, who's more of a, just probably more of a absolutely proven on the ground. So with that in mind, given how heavy it's going to be heavy, I would have him over him, giving him £2. I just feel Steel Ally won't have any issue with the ground. I'm not 100% sure Mambo number 5 will be in love with it. And if you have a doubt, I was desperately badly wrong on few horse over the last few days in terms of ground and other things, but I'd prefer to see him run on heavy and say, I think he's run on soft in France, but I wouldn't be surprised if he went off second favourite.
Newbury, soft ground, heavy in places on the chase course, heavy, soft in places on the hurdle course for their card on Saturday. The William Hill sponsored Denman Chase is a grade 2, 4 runners at 10 past 2, 3 miles. It's probably between Haiti Couleur and L'Empresse. Haiti Couleur, as we've spoken about earlier in the show, is a dual Grand National winner, Irish and Welsh, great jumper. The ground will bring his stamina into play. L'Empresse is 11 now. In Good Heart, a second in the Cotswold Chase last time out. This will tell us a lot about Haiti Couleur's prospects for Cheltenham.
Yeah, he'd want to be winning. Like, L'Empresse is an 11-year-old who was kind of put in his place. He was only three parts of a length by Swillans Tower Cheltenham, but he was kind of, he'd every chance. I think this is edging into no bet territory for me. I did feel L'Empresse was a bit of value around about 15 to 8, but now into 6 to 4, I wouldn't be backing that. So I think, you know, with respect to L'Empresse, Haiti Couleur should probably beat him. You know, getting £2, Haiti Couleur is supposed to come to Leopardstown, the boat situation and all that. Apparently, he's not a great traveller. Rebecca Curtis said it just wouldn't have suited. And I mean, it's funny, if you're thinking of a prep for Cheltenham, coming here against three horses for a 51 grand pot, it makes a lot more sense. A lot of small field races this weekend, and including the Arkle last week, where you're kind of thinking, you know, connections must be at least missing a bit of a trick here, because there's a good prize money on a potential to win race, but this should be a great prep for Cheltenham for Haiti Couleur.
2:45, the William Hill Game Spirit Chase, a grade 2, 7 runners. Lulamba is pitched in here as a novice, enormous potential, only defeat of his career in the Triumph Hurdle last year, won on heavy ground in France. Is Nicky Henderson making the right call?
Yeah, I feel he is, and this is about Lulamba having more ability than the rest of these. And, you know, connections have been very unlucky with Sergino this year. Another complication for him. Stateman out of the Champion Hurdle picture. Lulamba could probably put his hand to either the Champion Hurdle. If he ran the Champion Hurdle, he'd be favourite. And going here, he's going to be favourite at Cheltenham, whatever race he runs in, I feel. I wouldn't say he's a 100 out of 100 jumper as a novice. Like, he's been good. He's been running in small fields, running, like, smashing big and be aware the last day. And coming in here now against the senior horses. The last 5-year old to win this was Masterminded.
Wow.
2 5-year olds have won this race. And the other one was 2 years before Masterminded. But obviously that's a long time ago. So you don't normally have 5-year olds.
Was it Viper Estates?
He beats Viper Estates. I was actually reading back the Racing Post analysis, and they ran about Cashman's when the particular price after the race. It made me feel, you know, it was like simpler times trying to look up the Cashman's website for a PDF of their odds in those days, and ringing up them in Cork and seeing if they'd lay a bet. There were different times, but he beat Viper Estates, smashed Viper Estates that day. Lulamba could be every bit as good. It's very, very hard to pick a hole in the source. Fair enough, he was beaten in the Triumph, but that was all a bit mad. He's just been brilliant since. I really like the source. Very straightforward. I'd be a backer rather than a layer. I just feel it's about him getting around and not making a bad mistake, and he'll win.
The one I liked at a price was Meet Me by the Sea.
Harry Cobden for JP.
5 wins from 6 under rules. Won it there last time on heavy ground. Is progressive. So at what, 18 to 1? I know there's not 8 runners, but could be the one to chase Lulamba home.
Yeah, that's fair.
We have Alex Dunn on the line from William Hill. How are you, Alex?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Looking forward to a busy day at Newbury. I will just say, by the way, each way extra means you can have 3 places on that race, but you'll have to take 11s, not 18s. So could be worth a look.
Yeah, that's
good. That's
options
good
value. Are good.
Yeah. Let's get into this William Hill hurdle then. Used to be called the Schweppes back in the long time ago, the 320, but now William Hill sponsored 2 miles, 16 runners. Alex, so what are we seeing money for? A lot of money for Dan Skelton's horse, Let It Rain, only 5 runs, 3rd at Ascot on reappearance. Dan Skelton's never won this.
No, would be an apt winner given the name as well.
Yeah,
11 to 4 at the head of affairs, and has been really, really well backed throughout the course of the week. Is certainly the one that has attracted the most support. You're not surprised at that. Dan Skelton in these sort of 2-mile handicaps is very, very good. So the fact that he's yet to win this race probably just adding more fuel to the fire. Let It Rain's got a really good chance. One of the prices that's been nibbled at is Mildam, who's 18-1 now for Jamie Snowden, number 11 on the race cards. Has probably got to step up quite a bit on what we've seen, and he's certainly not unexposed like a lot of those towards the head of the betting, but that's the one that's just been supported a little bit throughout the course of today as things stand. But yeah, the favourite is going to be really hard to beat, but we mentioned Each Way Extra there, probably worth taking a look at that again if you fancy something at a bit of a price in this one.
Quarter of the odds, four places as the 16 run, but when Dan Skelton, when Let It Rain won her bumper, which was at Ascot, he didn't say she's very good. He didn't say she's very, very good. He said she's very, very, very good, right? So when she appeared then off a year off and was running off 120, you're thinking, well, if she's that good, she should be winning the handicap for 120. And I quite like the run, but she would need to come on from that. But it was her first run in over a year. I quite like the run. She stayed on for pressure, just probably got a bit tired close home. She is £4 higher, though. So there's like, if you look at the likes of All In You, I'd have a slight worry about the ground for him as well, but he's very interesting.
Under Drifter
James
in the market, All In You.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ground related. James Bowen gets on very well with the horse, and I know some shrewd judges are on him, but I love these handicap hurdles. It's funny, I'm not mad at handicap chases at all, the top level ones. Handicap hurdles like this, I really, really like these races, and this is going to be a cracker to watch.
What's your selection?
I hope maybe you get a bit bigger, but Let It Rain looks the obvious one. If you get about threes, I'd have no issue backing her each way, but maybe looking for a little bit bigger than the price at the moment. Has plenty of upside still.
Bubble Dubé is 22-1, has won on the bounce at Chepstow and Aintree. Could be worth a look for a euro each way, Bubble Dubé. What about other races attracting money positively or negatively tomorrow? Alex, what are you saying?
Well, Lulamba is incredibly well backed from earlier in the week when we weren't really sure where Lulamba was going to go. When it was confirmed that he would run here, he was 7-4, he's now 8-11, and when you actually look at who's lining up against him, I can see that getting even shorter. Yes, he's still got to go and jump and beat them, but you would expect him to. Loads and loads of money for that one. The Denman Chase is an interesting one. I know that you two mentioned 80 Claw versus Long Press. I will throw a leave of absence in there as maybe a better 16-1. Mm. 80 Claw is brilliant, but he's been brilliant in handicaps. And this is probably as weak a graded race as he can find. And he should have things go his own way. Long Press has got the back class, but I couldn't back one of Venetia's at the minute. So I don't know. I just think there shouldn't be that much between the front two and leave of absence. 16s might just be a little bit too big. But yeah, there are a lot of small field events. Be interesting to see how the markets go between now and post time.
Leave of absence, of course, and distance winner at Newbury. We have subject to an inspection on Saturday afternoon, and hopefully everything will be okay, that Navan will go ahead on Sunday. We've got the William Hill Boyne Hurdle there, the William Hill Tenup Novice Chase. These are two grade two races. The Boyne Hurdle, Johnny, do you have a view on that? Like Staffordshire Notts, I thought was all the way going to win at Goran Park, and then Home by the Lee came and did him.
Yeah, I tipped him that day. I don't think, in fairness, I don't think he did a lot wrong, and Home by the Lee is very solid on his day. 5-2 here isn't, Gordon dominated the entries in this and runs three. I just looking at the prices here now, Hill's the only one to price up. I actually don't feel 5-2 is a bad price. He's a really, really solid horse. Like, it's going to be tough for better days ahead to win this on his first run back. It's going to be really tough going at Navan. 2-6 on this ground. And Staffordshire Notts, he's hard fit. I'd be a backer rather than a layer at 5-2.
Maxim won it last year.
Give Gordon a good hand.
Yeah, Togarell was a past winner of this race.
Used to be his prep for Cheltenham.
Yeah. We also have then the Tenup Novice Chase at 350. Oscar's brother, I mean, like, JB McManus has bought this horse, kept with the Kings. He looks a very exciting chaser in the making.
Yeah, the Kings story's been mad because his dad bought basically two horses for Connor to train, and they've both turned out to be very good, which is quite remarkable because they weren't big money. And fair play to JP McManus, bought the horse, but like, and I think Connor's dad was involved in the ownership, but kept the horse with Connor in the yard, and he's quite solid here. Basta Brownies has developed into a very, very solid staying novice chaser as well, and Gold Dancer is interesting. Like, he's been left in his place by Romeo Coolio in Find the Man, but it does look like this trip might suit him. Tricky little race. I'd be with Oscar's brother if I had to have a bet.
Last of the Brownies. I wonder if there's any kind of connection to Last of the Brownies, who was a horse that used to run in the Grand National for Mouse Morris. Late 80s, early 90s, around that time.
Yeah.
When Mouse had runners in the Grand National when no other Irish trainers seemed to do well in it at all. Then, of course, he won it with Rule the World.
Yeah, he was interesting. He was three lengths behind Oscar's brother at Punchtown when they last clashed. But, you know, he was very good the last in second at Nace, I thought.
Any views on Sunday's action? Hopefully Navan will go ahead. It's probably early days for the markets to be forming for this one, Alex, especially with the weather.
Yeah, as far as the market's concerned, I mean, you mentioned the prices there. There hasn't been any notable movement so far. But I would say in the Boyne Hurdle, I wouldn't really be shocked if any of them were to win. And six runners and 5-2 the Fav and 8-1 the outside. I think they've all got a squeak. As for the William L. Tenup Novices Chase, the Wall Park is 14-1 and was 20s. Just been nibbled at. Now, this horse has had a torrid season, really hasn't looked like winning. But last season, he was really, really progressive. Granted, over hurdles, hasn't done the same over the larger obstacles. But you've got Mark Walsh aboard. I mean, that's positive at the minute, as you alluded to earlier. I don't know. I don't think he should be double the price of every other runner in the field, or more than double, obviously, in a lot of the cases. But I don't know. I've just got a feeling that we might see more from him sooner rather than later. And if you're going to take a chance, you'd rather do it at that sort of price, wouldn't you?
Alex is absolutely right there. Just watch the betting on that horse, like, because, I mean, he just hasn't come alive yet over fences, but they've been taking a long-term view with him.
What about the DRF, the Dublin Racing Festival, Alex? Was there anything you took out of it for Cheltenham, or positively or negatively?
So many pointers. I think Cheltenham looks as open this year as it has done for many a year in a lot of the big races. And there is a school of thought that anything that did run incredibly well at the DRF, it's going to take that much out of those runners that do you want to be with them for Cheltenham? And there's so many different schools of thought. What I would say is one that did catch the eye of plenty, and I can certainly understand why, was the day after the DRF, Old School Outlaw.
She was very, very good.
She was so, so good. And I think she's still underestimated in the betting for the Mares Novices. She's 7-2 with Bambino Fever at 7-4. I'd have them two much closer, if not vying for favouritism. I'm surprised that she wasn't shortened more off the back of that performance. She looked seriously good against Place de la Nation, who I actually thought was decent. And I think actually we sat here, I think it was probably a fortnight ago, and agreed, because on the initial running of that race, it should have been on the Sunday a fortnight ago, and it got rearranged, that Place de la Nation was the bet in that race.
Called it all wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. I've gone full circle now, though. Old School Outlaw is, I think she could be the real deal. So 7-2, she's the one that I took out of the week. I know not quite from the DRF, but close enough.
Place de la Nation, I actually didn't have a bet the other day because the market was closer to what I thought it would be. And then close to the off, Place de la Nation was weak. I thought she was very disappointed. She barely fell in for second, but Old School Outlaw looks a machine. She really does. I totally agree with Alex. I don't know why she should be any bigger than Bambino Fever.
I have no idea what's going to win the Football World Cup this year. I can't work it out. And I can't work out the Gold Cup at the moment. Alex, we've been trying to work out the Gold Cup for Cheltenham at the moment. What's your view on it?
It's tricky, isn't it? We are now non-runner money back here at William Hill, which is a bonus because there's so many of these runners who we're not entirely sure what the plan is. Factor File is currently the favourite in that market at 7-2 and has to be off the back of a really good performance last time. But Django Bay 5s, the Jukebox Man 6s, Galopin des Champs 7s with Gaelic Warrior, 80 Colours is 10-1. Remains to be seen how that one runs at the weekend. 12s for Spillane's Tower and 14s and bigger the rest. But there are just so many questions to answer for so many of them. I was recording the Inside Track podcast with Barry Geraghty yesterday. He mentioned Galopin des Champs each way at 7-1 now, provided that he can bounce back. But there are a lot there that have too many question marks for me. I think the Jukebox Man is the one that I'd sooner back, just because he just keeps going. And as far as preps are concerned, he's probably had quite a nice, relaxed few months just watching all of the other runners either slog it out or disappoint. But I like renewals like this when it is wide open, when we're not just going, yeah, he'll probably go and win and he's 5-4. I think this could end up being a fantastic Gold Cup to watch.
Johnny, got a 50 euro charity bet for the weekend's racing. What are you picking, 25 each way or 50 on the nose?
50 on the nose, and we don't have prices, but Mudan in the 250 at Nace Saturday.
Okay, tell us about this horse.
It is actually, without his falls and unseats, he's just been very, very progressive. And he goes back over hurdles from chasing. Now, normally I'm against that, but he's actually not a great jumper of a fence. And he goes out in front, loves this ground, really genuine tough horse. Very little in the race. I'd be amazed if he's out of the first three.
Okay, Mudan.
Mudan, yeah, great.
Number four and the 250 Nice on Saturday, trained by Kieran Murphy, to be ridden by Owen Finnegan. Mudan is Johnny Ward's a charity bet this week on the Racing Pod. Alex Dunn, thanks so much. We'll chat to you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, apologies for my selection last week. Il Fabiolo, very disappointed to pick. It was kind of a frustrating festival. I pick winners, but they were in the races.
Majbro was the one.
Majbro was, fact of file, like, they were. Like, Cousin Kate, I was sweet on, even to back me or sack me. Like, but basically, El Fabiolo, for me, I did definitely feel that mares were vulnerable, but sure, he ran no sort of a race. So, sometimes, yeah, I give it to a man in one of the local pubs, and I said, I apologised a few days afterwards, and he said, didn't he run a very good race? Didn't you? I was just like, you're such a nice man. He absolutely did not, and sorry for giving that last week.
There's always another day. A reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your podcasts. Johnny Ward, thank you. We're going to chat to you next week. We'll look forward to having your company, folks, then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18 Off plus.
GAA. When a group of players come together at the same time, when they're growing at the same time, when they're moving in the same direction, when they all have that same bit of hunger, I think that's a really powerful thing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.